السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over receivers, last week we were discussing some aspects of qurbani, and I mentioned that the whole purpose and objective of qurbani is not the eating of the meat. The flesh of the animals that we make qurbani of, indeed, it is a great benefit to the poor, the needy, or those people who haven't eaten meat for the whole year. It benefits some of them. And therefore, it is better that the person distributes the meat, keeps some for himself. That one-third, one-third, one-third is not some kind of a hard and fast rule. Even if a person distributes the entire meat, nobody is going to question him on the day of Qiyamah that why did you give away the whole animal. So if a person eats from that qurbani animal, it is permissible, it is good, the person should eat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself took from the flesh of the qurbani animal. Now that itself shows that if it was sadaqah, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam refused to eat one khajur, one date, which he suspected or doubted that it could have been of sadaqah. So if this meat was sadaqah, if it had been for charity, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would not have partaken. A very clear indication that this is not a meat of sadaqah. If a person has made the niyat of sadaqah, then that is a different issue. But if he is making qurbani, then it is a clear indication that it is not for charity. Giving to the poor, giving to those people who haven't eaten, it is great reward, great sawab. But why I'm emphasizing is that practically every year we have this problem. If it's not in South Africa, in other parts of the world, this year in Pakistan it started again, where a person went round and even put advertisements in the newspapers there, and he claimed that millions of rupees worth of animals are just going down the drain, na'uzu billah, and there's a great amount of wastage, and nobody really is looking forward to eating meat, especially during the days of qurbani when there's so much of meat. So therefore, what we should really do is collect those monies for qurbani, which, and then give to those people who cannot afford fees for their education at tertiary institutions. The fees are quite high, so therefore we rather collect all that money and then pay for the students' bursaries and fees. So if all the nafil qurbani, if the person is doing nafil qurbani, that which is not obligatory, that which is not wajib, if the person gives that for those causes which are deserving at that particular moment in time, then it is good. Nobody says that a person must do 100 qurbanis when there's a great need for the poor person to have some light water and other provisions. So at that time, if the person takes his nafil qurbani money and gives it to the poor and needy, then it will be sawab. It does not mean that the person has to do all the nafil qurbani. But when it comes to the wajib qurbani, then even if nobody benefits from that meat, the person must never feel that it's a wastage. Imagine if we had to be ordered to take the life of our sons or our children. If Allah Ta'ala had said, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam put the knife on his son's throat, so now you two do the same thing. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala saved us from that and said that you sacrifice one animal. So it is the spirit of that qurbani that must come into our lives. And that spirit is the giving of our total person to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is the spirit. The animal gives its total life. After that, we enjoy the different parts of the bodies of that animal. Somebody likes steak, somebody likes mutton, somebody likes chops, somebody likes liver, and somebody likes kidneys. All those things the people eat. But the animal gave its total life. Said, place the knife on my throat and I am yours. So that human being who purchased one animal, and that animal also Allah Ta'ala gave it life, but now it is giving its total life. So the lesson that it is giving is that you, O believer, who is putting the knife on my throat, and I am prepared to give my life because it is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to you to do the qurbani. So then you should give your total life also to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Therefore, Hazrat Malik ibn Dinar Rahmatullah Alayhi, that incident comes to mind, in which Hazrat Malik ibn Dinar Rahmatullah Alayhi says that I was on going for Hajj, and I met one young person, a very pious looking young person. He had great noor on his face, and he was going also in that same direction. But because he had no provisions with him, so therefore I asked him that, where are you going? He said, I am going to him. He said, I'm going to him. He said, where are you from? He said, I am from him. And he says, where are your provisions? He said, my provisions are guaranteed by him. So he said, you are a very strange kind of a person, because Allah Ta'ala himself says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Different meanings are given about taqwa, etc. But also one of it is that the person must take provisions, because our taqwa and our iman is of not of that level. If we are not going to take some provisions with us, if we are not going to have our currency, and if we are not going to make our accommodation available there, then we will keep looking at the other person's pockets. That will be our condition, that if we don't have anything, we'll keep looking at the other person's pocket. And we will expect other people to make our khidmat and serve us, because we say we carried no money, we haven't come with any provisions, we haven't come with any currency, so therefore you spend on me now. Now will that be Hajj if the person's gaze now fall on somebody else's pockets? That place where he's supposed to be thinking of none but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this young person was of a different caliber, therefore we have to understand everything properly. We must not take these incidents and they say, now we want to practice on it. But he was of that level that he says that I am from Allah, I am going to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. So he says, Allah Ta'ala has guaranteed my risk and sustenance. So if somebody goes to a home where he is invited, and the person carries his pot of curry and his rice and everything with him, like somebody asks him that, why are you taking this pot of curry and everything with you? He says, I don't know whether I'll get food there, I won't get, although I'm invited. What would you think of that host? So he says, I'm invited by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so therefore why must I carry anything? So again I repeat that this is a very special type of person, and we must congratulate him for that kind of iman and yaqeen. So he says, I'm from Allah Ta'ala, I'm going to him, and he has guaranteed my provision. He said, then we continued. And he says, after that he read, he said that, I have taken provision with me. To you I may not have taken, but I have taken. He said, what is that provision that you have taken? He said, I have taken 5 letters with me. He said, which 5 letters you have taken as provision? He said, I have taken Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad. Now he explained what Kaf means, Ha means, Ya means. Now we don't have the time to go into all the detailed explanation. But what a beautiful reply he gave. Nevertheless, he says, we proceeded after that, and then I missed him. I didn't see him. It's a long story, but after that, finally, he says, I met him again in Mina. And in Mina, he says, the person looked up towards the skies. And he said, oh Allah, everybody here has brought some provisions with him. They've brought some animals for sacrifice, or they will be purchasing animals for sacrifice. I have got nothing, my beloved Allah, except my own life. So they will be sacrificing their animals. They will be placing the knife over the throats of those animals, and they will give you the meat, or sacrificing that meat. He said, I, oh my beloved Allah, I am giving you my person. And he screamed, and he fell, and he passed away. He made, in fact, real sacrifice. He proved it with his action that he was from Allah, he was for him, and his provisions were guaranteed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Malik ibn Dinar Rahmatullah Alayhi says, after that I was really, really concerned. I wanted to know what was this person's status in the eye of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he says, I made dua and I went to sleep. In my dream I saw this person in Jannah, and I'm asking him, how did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala deal with you? And what rewards did he give to you? He said, the rewards my Allah Ta'ala gave to me is that he gave me this rewards of more than the people that were in the battle of Badr. Now again, there's an explanation what that means. So that was the spirit of that Qurbani, that he gave his whole person, his total person to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now we will say that we all of us cannot do that we go on the plains of Arafat or we go to Mina there and we say, Ya Allah, now take my life away. So we are being asked to give our life to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the sense that whatever is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala we do, and what is displeasing to him we stay away from. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that you can marry such kind of people, so then we will marry. If Allah Ta'ala says it is haram for you, no matter how pretty that face may be or handsome that person may be, but if he is of a faith that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not approve for marriage, then we will say, I accept my Allah Ta'ala's hukam. I don't follow my nafs because I'm the banda of Allah Ta'ala. That is what we are being trained in that Qurbani, that we must become the true slaves of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Therefore, in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dukhulu fis silmi kaffah wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan innahu lakum aduwwum mubeen. O you believers, enter into the fold of Islam completely. In fact, Allah Ta'ala uses the word fis silmi kaffah. There must be complete surrender, there must be complete obedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with regards to our aqaid, our beliefs, with regards to our transactions, with regards to our etiquettes, our morals, our behavior, our conduct. There must be complete submission to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's will. Of course, we will have to understand what is farz, what is wajib, what is sunnah, what is mustahab, so that we do not go to extremes, that we begin attacking and targeting those people who are probably not practicing on some sunnah or mustahab, and we say that you are committing kufr. So you mustn't go to that extreme. But what I'm saying is that all those things that Allah Ta'ala has ordered, so there the person submits himself totally. Fisil me kaffa. And kaffa can refer to both things, that all of you have to submit, and we have to submit totally. That means the whole ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has to submit. It's not a question of selection, that a certain group from the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then namaz is farz 5 times a day for them, and for them they fast and give zakat and go for hajj and stay away from haram. That is only for that particular group. And the rest of them, if he's a university student or is a graduate from some college, or if the person is in some profession, in some government department or somewhere else, then those laws of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala do not apply to him. So this Quranic verse makes it clear there must be no selection business. There's no question of choice after the person has accepted Islam. This is the difficulty that we cannot really explain to people with regards to choice. That a person can have choice in many matters. In Sharia itself, those things which are permissible, now he's got a choice. If a person wants to eat fish, or he wants to eat meat which is halal meat, or the person wants to eat just vegetables, or he doesn't want to have anything to do with fruits for sickness or for health reasons, he's eating only fruits, whatever it may be, there he's got a choice. But when it comes to Shariat itself, then we have no choice. We have the choice before that either we say, yes Allah, we are accepting you as our Allah, as our Khaliq, as our Malik, as our Sustainer, as our Cherisher, as our Nourisher, as the one who has created us, as the one who is nourishing us, and we accept all your ahkam. Therefore the little children from madrasa days, what do we teach them? Amantu billahi kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa qabiltu jami'a ahkamihi. I mentioned this many times, that child of 3 years, 4 years of age that mother is teaching, or in the maktab they are teaching, amantu billahi kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa qabiltu jami'a ahkamihi. I accept Allah as He is, with all His names and all His qualities, and I accept all his orders, all the orders of Allah Ta'ala I accept. Now who is saying that? That little child. And we are teaching in the class 1, grade 1, or even before that the mother is teaching. So which order did that child accept? Is that child now going to start salat? That's a hukam of Allah Ta'ala, so the child will start salat now. Or the child will start giving zakat. Or the child will start fasting. The 4-year-old child. Which hukam did this child accept? So there's no hukam at present that the child has accepted. But it is a training that from now the child is repeatedly saying that, oh Allah, I accept all your ahkam. قَبِلْتُ جَمِيعَ أَحْكَامِهِ. Meaning that the day I turn of age, or in fact even before that, I will start practicing in all your orders and all your commands and the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the day those commands will become directed at me, then there will be no negligence from my part. Then you will find me totally submitting myself, and that is again that lesson of Qurbani. That the person totally submits. He puts the knife over the throat of his evil desires, as I mentioned last week. Therefore, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the poet beautifully says,
aise hote hain khuda ke manne wale bashar, aise hote hain khuda ke manne wale bashar, kar diya qurban bete ko khaleelullah ne.
That is how people obeyed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and those who are the real ushaq and lovers of Allah ta'ala, he says this is what they do. Kar diya qurban bete ko khaleelullah ne. As I explained, that when the knife was on the throat of Hazrat Ismail, at that time Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam did not know that this knife is not going to cut. So therefore in reality he was believing that this knife will take the life of my beloved son Ismail. What must have gone through his mind? Would you think it was an easy thing? If we see some children playing with knives and it's going towards his little brother or little sister, how we scream and shout. So he says, kar diya qurban bete ko khaleelullah ne. Bas Allah's hukam, that's all. They were not interested in anything else. They didn't ask for what the wisdom behind this order. Why this, why that. There was no question of whys and whats and ifs and buts. There is wisdom. The person, when he believed in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the final messenger of Allah ta'ala, then he believed that Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever order they give, there's nothing but wisdom in it. There's nothing but goodness in it. As you've heard many times, that look across the board, everything that Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has prohibited, there's nothing but harm in it. Whether it is gambling, whether it is drinking, whether it is fornication, whether it's adultery, watching all the filth, whatever it is, there's nothing but harm. Nobody can prove it, that it is very, very beneficial. Yes, there can be a little bit of benefit in certain things, as Allah Ta'ala himself mentions. But he says the harm is greater than the benefit. So therefore Allah Ta'ala will prohibit it. Like that we will find definitely some benefit in everything. The gambler will say that I found great benefit. I was a real battler. I was battling around and rattling around and I had nothing. That after that I bought one lotto ticket, and then instead of looting me, I gained millions of rands. So therefore it benefited me greatly. So will we accept that as a benefit? So then every thief can also say that there's a great benefit in stealing. All these hijackers and murderers and killers and burglars, now all of them can say great benefit. When we hijack one Mercedes Benz, then we get so much money. So there can be some benefit sometimes, but it is not the benefit alone that we have to look at. Look at the great harm that it causes to the society, to the people, and to the person himself in this world, in the hereafter. So therefore Allah Ta'ala has only prohibited those things which are harmful to us. So ye aise kar diya qurban bete ko khaleelullah ne.
Aise hote hain khuda ke ماننے والے بشر کر دیا قربان بیٹے کو خلیل اللہ نے. اللہ اللہ جب لگی حلقوم پر چلنے چھری, اللہ اللہ جب لگی حلقوم پر چلنے چھری, دم نہ مارا اور نہ کروٹ لی ذبیح اللہ نے.
Submission on the one hand of the father. Those were the fathers who produced such kind of children. Not the fathers like us, that we are no role models for our children. As I said, that if somebody has to say that we must, that I am a father and I am your role model, you must follow me in everything that I do, where will our children end up? If every father has to stand up and say, I am the role model, follow me. And that is why they call them models, because people roll after them. So if a father has to say that, where will the children end up? Ask ourselves, where will our children end up? Somebody will be in the drug den, somebody will be in the cinema, somebody will be in the rave club, somebody will be in adultery, somebody will be in hijacking containers, somebody will be in some other kind of haram. The majority of the people around the globe I'm talking about, don't look at exceptions. Can we say we are role models? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, look at his son. On the one hand, his sacrifice and his commitment, prepared to obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala under all conditions. And on the other hand, look at his son. Satajiduni insha'allahu minas sabirin. If'al ma tu'mar. Oh my father, go ahead. Whatever you have been commanded to do, you do. Don't worry, you will find me of the people exercising great patience and sabr. Satajiduni insha'allahu minas sabirin. No complaint of any kind that, oh my father, what kind of a hukam did Allah ta'ala give to you? What was the wisdom behind it? How can you take my life? But of course, that was a hukam of Allah Ta'ala to a Nabi, and Allah Ta'ala knew that He's going to save the life of Ibrahim Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. We haven't been ordered to do the same thing. Some people quote Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam left his wife and children in a barren land with a little bit of dates and a little bit of water, and then he went away. And then Allah Ta'ala caused the well of Zamzam to spring there, so therefore we can do the same thing. Leave our wives and children without provision and go away for months and months and for years and years, because Allah Ta'ala is the provider. So Jibreel alayhi salam will come and dig up some well at the feet of our little baby. So we must not misunderstand these things. That was a hukam of Allah Ta'ala to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Take your children and go and leave them in the wilderness there. And when the wife also again complete submission that, oh Ibrahim, oh my dear husband, why are you doing this? Is it the hukam of Allah Ta'ala? Said, yes, it is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. He said, well, if it's the order of my Allah, then He will not cause me to suffer any loss. Then He will not destroy me. She too accepted that hukam. But can we say that because of that Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered and the well of Zamzam sprung at the feet of Hazrat Ismail, so therefore we too can take our children and we'll leave them in the Kruger National Park there? So everything needs an understanding. What can I do at present? There's such kind of mazmoon is coming. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq of amal. If they could sacrifice to that extent, Allah Allah. He said, jab chali halquma par chal, jab halquma par chalne churi, when the knife started going on the throat, dam na mara aur na karwat li zabihullah ne. Neither did he turn this way or that way or start screaming or shouting. In fact, he asked his father to put a blindfold over his eyes so that he doesn't get mercy and sympathy at that time. With those kind of sacrifices and that kind of a father and that kind of a son and that kind of a wife, in that progeny was born Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah Paak salallahu alayhi wa sallam came in the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam and Ibrahim alayhi salam. May Allah ta'ala give us the understanding of Qurbani. Now here we are not asked to give our lives or the life of our children. We are told put the knife on the throat of our evil desires, on the throat of our pride, of our arrogance, of our jealousy, of our malice, of our greed, of our evil passions and desires. Let the knife run over all those things. On our cheating and our deceiving and our adultery and our fornication and our watching of the filth on the porn sites of the internet, put our knives on that. And in these Mubarak days, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, the nights, if you have to stay awake, is like staying awake in the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. And fasting of the day is like fasting for 1 year. And at that time we say, no, but we can't do without our TVs, movies, radio, and all kinds of haram. Then what kind of an ummati are we? What kind of hurt, injury, pain we are causing to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he is informed that those ummatis of yours for whom you cried so much, for whom so much of your blood was sacrificed and shed, those ummatis even in these Mubarak days of Zilhijjah, they cannot stay away from haram indulgences. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and the problem of the entire mankind. Have great hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Don't lose hope. And take the first steps towards Allah Ta'ala, and then you will see how Allah Ta'ala will take us along. He'll give us such sukoon in our hearts, such sukoon that the kings of the world do not know what Allah Ta'ala gives into the hearts of those who are His friends and His walis. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.